Today's scriptures readings come from the books of Acts. Around midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners was listening to them. All at once, there was such a violent earthquake that it shook the prison's foundation. The doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer awoke and saw the open doors of the prison, he thought the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted loudly, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailers called for some lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He led them outside and asked the honorable masters, "What must I do to be rescued?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your entire household." They spoke the Lord's word to him and everyone else in his house. Right then, in the middle of the night, the jailer welcomed them and washed their wounds. He and everyone in his house was immediately baptized. He brought them into his home and gave them a meal. He was overjoyed because he and everyone in his house has come to believe in God. The word of God for the people of God.
Friends, did you feel that? The way that the music just settled into this space. That wasn't background, that wasn't decoration, that was something being created among us. Music doesn't just express how we feel, it creates what becomes possible. It opens doors that we thought were locked. It carries hope into places words can't reach. It shifts the air in a room, in a city, in a soul. Right? This morning, as you heard, we're hearing this mass that Mozart wrote when he was just 18 years old. I know we have some 18-year-olds among us today. Even within the compact form expected at this time, yes, the 45 minutes, the choir all looked at me when they said that, Mozart was able to do something amazing. This mass brings theatrical energy, emotional range, and human intensity into worship. For some in his day, it was too lively, too embodied, too expressive. But that is exactly what made it powerful. It stretched what people thought worship could sound like. It proclaimed something about God, that faith is not small or contained. That beauty itself can be transformational. In our Prophets Among Us series, today music and music makers take center stage. Prophetic music has always unsettled what worship should sound like. In countless forms and genres over the generations, music has always challenged societal status quo. And that same disruptive, liberating power of music is at the heart of today's story in Acts. For a little more context, here in the story we heard the Apostle Paul and Silas were traveling companions on Paul's second missionary journey. In the city of Philippi, Paul cast out a spirit from a slave girl who had been used by her owners to tell fortunes and make money. When her owners realized that the source of their income was gone, They seized Paul and Silas, dragged them before the authorities, and accused them of throwing the city into an uproar. The magistrates, without trial, ordered them to be beaten and thrown into prison. They were bound by a violent system meant to silence them, contain them, and make an example of them. In prison, their future was uncertain. Their voices could have gone silent. This is how empire works. Fear, confinement, isolation used as tools of control. Think for a moment about the locked doors in our world today. Immigration detention centers, mass incarceration, systems that dehumanize and isolate. This setting is not neutral. It is always designed to suppress hope. And yet, somewhere around midnight, the darkest hour, Paul and Silas do something astonishing. They pray and they sing. Not after the chains fall off, not after the doors open, not after rescue arrives, but while they are still in darkness, while they are still hemmed in, while the pain is still real. This is not denial of suffering. This is defiance within suffering. And notice the text says the other prisoners were listening. Their witness is communal, not private. Prophetic music is never just for the singers, it's for anyone within earshot. Paul and Silas's songs become testimony that travels through stone, through cells, into the ears and hearts of everyone around them. When suddenly the earth shakes, the foundations tremble, the doors fly open, and the chains are loosened. The earthquake is both literal and symbolic, and the liberation is collective. The whole prison is freed. You see, God's liberation is never tidy or contained. When it comes, it unsettles entire systems. The jailer wakes to this chaos, assumes the worst, and prepares to end his own life. Because otherwise, he faces certain death at the hands of his bosses, the Roman authorities. He is so trapped by the logic of empire that even with the doors open around him, he cannot imagine a future beyond violence. But Paul's voice interrupts. Do not harm yourself. We are all here. This is crucial. Liberation does not come at the cost of another's destruction. The prisoners do not flee. The men who have been beaten and imprisoned refuse to mirror the cruelty used against them. And that is the moment that breaks open the jailer's life. Seeing this, he asks, "What must I do to be saved?" He's not converted by argument. He is converted by witnessing a community that refuses to replicate violence, a faith that sings in suffering and makes room for mercy. The singing of Paul and Silas created the conditions for transformation. Before the jailer asks his question, he has already heard the gospel, the good news of God's saving love, in their hymns. And church, we have heard this too. In recent months, as our communities organized in response to the surge in ICE enforcement across Minnesota, people have gathered not just to speak, but to sing. Many protests featured singing. For a while, neighbors gathered nightly right here in Hamlin Midway to sing together. Musicians responded to this moment with artistic courage, writing new songs. Collective singing resistance events have drawn people together across fear, across difference, across uncertainty. Many of those same songs have been sung here in this sanctuary. The line between protest and worship begins to blur in the best possible way, because both are at their core acts of prophetic witness. When people sing and create music in the face of systems that dehumanize, they are doing exactly what Paul and Silas did. They are refusing to let fear have the final word. They are creating a soundscape where hope can survive and even grow. This is not new for the church. It is what we have always done every time we gather for worship. In our tradition of Methodism, John Wesley's heart was stirred by Moravian hymns sung with calm confidence in the middle of a storm at sea. From spirituals born in bondage, to the freedom songs of the civil rights movement, to the protest music rising in our streets today, song has carried what spoken words alone could never hold. As a preacher, I know that there is only so much that my words can do. I can study the text and craft the words and pray for the Spirit to move through them. But words have limits. Music goes where words cannot. It reaches past our defenses. It settles into the body, into memory, into places we didn't even know were open. I am so deeply grateful for the musicians of this church. Week in and week out, they carry us. They give voice to the prayers we didn't know how to say. They hold us when we are weary. They lift us up when we cannot lift ourselves. And we must always remember, we are all a part of making music during worship, as Tova reminded us. Even if you don't consider yourself musical, your voice matters. When you sing a hymn, when you hum along, when you let music move through you, you are contributing to the collective power of music to bring hope and healing. This is not a performance that you watch. This is a witness we create together. Every voice, every breath, every note adds to the sound that can shift something in this room, in this community, in this world. Paul and Silas didn't preach their way out of prison. They sang. And in their singing, something shifted. Not just in them, but in everyone who could hear them. Prophetic music names reality honestly, refuses despair, and opens imagination beyond the present system. In its own time, Mozart's Mass expanded what worship could feel like: joyful, dramatic, embodied. In doing so, it proclaimed that beauty itself can be a form of transformation. In both cases, music stretches the boundaries of what people thought was possible. In just a moment, the choir will sing the Credo. The Creed is not just recited, it is proclaimed through music. Just as the jailer heard and responded, we too are invited to hear and respond. The credo becomes our collective yes, our declaration that another way of being is real. Friends, I know many of us are weary right now. We have argued until we are blue in the face, trying to stand up to the oppressive and abusive authoritarian actions in our country today. We have made the case for dignity, for justice, for mercy over and over again. And some days it feels like the words just aren't enough. So I wonder, what would it mean to sing more in the face of these obstacles? To turn to music in our own lives and collectively to lift our hearts and our hope. Not to stop speaking truth, but to let music carry what arguments cannot alone. To let our bodies, our voices, our communal presence become the witness when words feel exhausted. What would it mean to sing in those spaces? To embody hope publicly? Advocacy rooted in faith, community that refuses fear-based narratives, worship that energizes rather than numbs. Who is listening to our song? And what are they learning about God because of it? Prison walls, once instruments of confinement, become witnesses to liberation. Music doesn't just fill space, it transforms it. Today, as the choir sings the credo, we are not performing faith. We are participating in the same kind of witness. Let your faith be something that can be heard. Let it shake something loose. Let it open doors, not just for you, but for others. Because when God's people start singing, even the walls start listening. Thanks be to God. Amen.